Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're delighted to have you on board. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion on some issues that I believe every Christian and every church member and every church should hear, understand, and recognize based on the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I'm always amazed at the number of individuals that you can talk with, even in the Christian community, among believers, and you can challenge them about an issue or about their position on an issue or their position on a theological or doctrinal thought. And somehow, some way, they argue it based on ideological position or some dogma or some denominational rites or rituals or rules or regulations. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to base our opinions and decisions not on the book of opinion, but the book of truth, the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus made a declaratory statement about the Word of God that I believe every Christian, every child of God, every believer needs to understand. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth," speaking of the Word of God, the Bible. It is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible doesn't just contain truth, it is truth. It doesn't just have a little nugget occasionally of truth. In the totality of every word is truth, as found in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today, church authority and sin. Church authority and sin. But before we get into the monologue and the dialogue and discussion on that issue or that question or that statement, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that you can join in the dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. That's 401-1413. Get you directly through to our studios and right to our microphones that we can have discussion on this together. And before we do that, let me remind you that Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church, we'll have a special pulpit message about Thanksgiving, and we invite you to come and be a part. We've met you on the air. We'd love to meet you in person. So accept this as my personal invitation for you to come and worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. It's precisely exactly 1 mile south of I-295, right on Old St. Augustine Road, 12021. We are about 3.5 miles north of the intersection of St. Augustine Road and I-95, so we'd love to have you. Sunday morning at 9:30 is the Bible study hour. Some call it Sunday school. And then at 10:45 is the morning worship service. So we'd be delighted to have you this Sunday for a special Thanksgiving message. Looking forward to having you. Introduce yourself. Let us know how you found us and what you think about the broadcast ministry and our facing the issues. It is our prayer, ladies and gentlemen, this ministry, this broadcast, will be something that will cause every Christian to sit back, think, cause you to scratch your head, as old cliche goes, study the Word, seek the answer from the Word of God for yourself, that we might be able to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we think on the subject today, the issue that we're talking about, church authority and sin, I'm reminded of an article that I read recently. The title of the article was simply this: "Should sinners be allowed in church?" Question mark. It's kind of an unusual question, I believe. But yes, the church is a hospital for the sin sick. And so therefore, the church is the meeting place where sinners can come. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, there's a gross misunderstanding among believers about who is a sinner. We're all sinners. Some are saved by grace. Others have not yet been saved. So we're all sinners. But there's a major difference in a saved sinner and a lost sinner. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, if we're saved, if we said yes to the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, we've been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, there is a difference in our life. There is a challenge from the Scripture that we'd be obedient to the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a major difference today in what some think of the church and what the church ought to be. In fact, our society today seems to feel that the church should simply be a some kind of a bastion for all of those that want to come and ply their trade and do whatever they please, that somehow the church ought to set aside and lay aside all biblical absolutes. Some have the philosophy that the pastor ought not to preach on sin, that there never should be anything that's condemnatory from the pulpit. There's a philosophy that says preaching and pastors ought to always preach positive messages. Well, if you want that, you'll go to the Osteenites and Joel Osteen, where there's always something positive said, but there's never anything where there's a confrontation of sin. But ladies and gentlemen, the church is a place for sinners, lost folks, to go to get saved, to be born again. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be in church to be saved. Doesn't mean you have to be in church to be born again. But the church is designed as a lighthouse in a darkened world for the lost to come in and find Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a society today where somehow, some way, there's a mindset that the New Testament church ought to simply embrace the philosophy of the world. In fact, the New Testament church today, so often you find those that have the what I call the lewd, lost likes lifestyle and living, and it never should be confronted from the, by the pastor, by the Word of God. There are many today that the homosexuality and the sodomite lifestyle is to be embraced and accepted. Seems today, ladies and gentlemen, that the church is required to embrace and openly welcome the LGBTQ agenda. There's a mindset that says that the church and the pastor and the churches, the Christians within the church, should embrace the social justice ideological philosophy. Then there are those that think that the church needs to never reject anything or anyone or any kind of sin that is in it. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, just a few years ago, right here in this city, there was a lady that was living, a single woman that was living in an adulterous lifestyle, openly flaunting it, yet still actively involved in the church. And when the pastor confronted that, when the pastor went to her, then all of a sudden she went ballistic, filed suit against the church because he had ruined and besmirched her reputation. But ladies and gentlemen, somehow, some way, there's a mindset that any old sin ought to prevail and pervade the New Testament church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing ought to be said or done about it. And this is the reason there's such an uproar in a church in Chicago where the pastor openly confronted a drag queen in his church. Yes, you heard me right. Let me just read you a blurb or two from this article about it. It says a Chicago pastor asked a man in drag to leave the church. He says, and I quote, "Go put on man clothes." And he says that he's not sorry for saying that. The article says this: Chicago pastor who asked a man dressed in drag to leave the worship services because he was dressed like a woman stands by his actions after coming under fire. The pastor of Powerhouse International Ministries asked the unidentified man to step out into the aisles. "Can you leave my church and go put on man clothes," the pastor said from the pulpit, "and don't come here like that anymore," end quote. And the pastor then goes on to say, "I hold a standard here. Whatever you do on the outside is your business, but I will not let drag queens come in here. You're going to come in here, you're going to come dressed like a man." People in the crowd cheered and said, "Amen," and "Thank you, Jesus." The pastor addressed the young man publicly. And in fact, further in the article, it says, and a place that is supposed to be a place of change, a place of deliverance, whatever you want to call it, why would you come in and destroy someone and something in front of the whole room full of people? He says stuff like this is the reason that the church has no power in 2018, because they're so worried about the wrong things. He goes further and says, the church must stand for something, as one woman had reported it on Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, love to hear from you. Do you think this pastor is right or wrong? What should the pastor have done? Here's a man that is a part of the church, I understand, in reading further articles about it. He's a member of the church, and he apparently is in some perverted, destructive mindset about sexuality and what he is and who he is. And so evidently he dresses outside the church like that, and he's finally decided he wanted to be seen and recognized and embraced by the church and the pastor with his perverted, sinful, ungodly lifestyle. In fact, it is amazing to me that anyone, lost or saved, would have anything evil or wicked or wrong or challenging or chiding to the pastor about that stand. After all, the scripture is very, very clear. In fact, you can go to the scripture and says in Ephesians 5, 26 and 27 that the church is to be holy. The church is to be spotless, without spot or blemish. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all perfect. That's not what that scripture is saying. It's not what the Word of God is saying. It's not what the Bible is saying at all. But we need to be saved, and as saved people, we need to act saved. We need to follow the dictates of the Word of God. We need to be obedient to Scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of this pastor's open stand against the drag queen, he's being eviscerated by the sodomite community across the nation. In fact, here's an article that says, pastor under fire for booting a male member who dressed like a woman from his church services. The pastor Powerhouse International Ministries in Chicago, Illinois, is coming under fire from the advocates of the LGBTQ community for publicly rebuking a male member who came to his church dressed as a woman Sunday night. Ladies and gentlemen, the article further says, this particular situation, this young man was told several times in private. I went to him personally, the pastor said. He warned him about the church rules and told him he couldn't dress like a female in church. He verbally agreed to follow the church's rules, but still continued dressing like a woman. On Sunday night, when he challenged the pastor publicly during the worship services, the pastor said he was forced to rebuke him publicly. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what the scripture calls for, precisely. The scripture is very, very clear. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's called church discipline. And any church that is worth its salt, any church that is going to be obedient to the Word of God, will not allow open public sin among members in the New Testament church. In fact, the scripture says in Matthew 18, verses 15 and following, and it's dealing with the pattern of church discipline, it says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and as a publican. In fact, the scripture is clear in Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrines which have been taught, and avoid them. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 4:5, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit be with the power of our Lord Jesus, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, in that context, it was speaking of a man that was living in a sexual relationship with his stepmother, and the people at Corinth, the Christians, were so open-minded, you would have thought they were 21st century Christians or 21st century church. They were simply saying, we're going to just be obedient to loving everyone, and we're not going to confront any sin. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem that weakens and waters down and destroys the power, the authority, and the integrity of the local New Testament church. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening today and you're in a church where that's allowed, and there's some mainline Baptist churches in our city today that absolutely embrace every perverted lifestyle that you could think of, and there are other denominations that down through the years have embraced all manner of illicit, immoral, ungodly lifestyles just for the numbers, nickels, and noses to fill the pews. Ladies and gentlemen, it's egregious in the Word of God. But church discipline is ordered in the Scripture. And I could go through, I teach an entire semester in the college and university on that subject, biblical church discipline. What is required? How is it carried out? Why should it be carried out? It's to keep the body of Christ pure. It's to keep the body of Christ spotless. Ladies and gentlemen, if the world sees that the church is no different than the world, what's the purpose of the church? Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we're talking about church authority and sin. Church authority and sin. There are many, many, many verses in the Scripture that teach church discipline and the pastor's God-given authority and responsibility to keep the body of Christ honorable before the world. Ladies and gentlemen, in the world in which we're living in today, there's even an article now where a professing atheist can be the pastor of a church. A professing atheist. Here's an article, and I'll read it briefly, and then we'll take our next caller. But this article says, after coming out as an atheist, the pastor still keeps job. The article talks about a pastor of the United Church in Canada who came out as an atheist in 2016. She is retaining, there's the first problem, ladies and gentlemen, a female pastor. That's antithetical to the Word of God, that is contrary to the Scripture, that is contrary to what God's Word says ought to be. God has appointed men to be the head of the home, man to be the head of the church, man to be an authority in government. And when we find a default system that allows the woman to take authority over the man, theologically, doctrinally speaking, which is contrary to the Word of God, we're in trouble already. But this article says she is retaining her position with the church even in spite of not believing in God. The article further says, a United Church minister who has faced an unprecedented ecclesiastical court hearing over her professed atheism is no longer in danger of being defrocked after two sides reached an agreement in a long-running case. In an unexpected development this week, the Reverend Vosper, V-O-S-P-E-R, and the church settled ahead of what some dubbed to be the heresy trial, leaving her free to minister and to at her East End Toronto congregation. Quote, it's going to be wonderful, she said in an interview. We'll be out here from underneath the heavy load, heavy cloud. Now we'll be able to really fly, end quote, whatever that means. Then the article further says the church did not immediately respond to requests from comments Friday, but said in a statement that the formal hearing has been called off in light of the agreement with the Reverend Richard Bott, who was elected in July to lead the United Church in Canada, said in a public message that he was pleased with the resolution. In a message to the Ardents, that's the followers, Bott referenced the church's core values of faith in God and inclusiveness. How can faith in God and inclusiveness be the core values of a church if a female atheist is pastoring the church? The article further says, as Botts is speaking, as a Christian church, we continue to expect that ministers of the United Church of Canada will offer their leadership in accordance with our shared and agreed upon statement of faith. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a major problem when an atheist can continue to pastor a church and call it a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with the question and comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor. The position of pastor is not a job. It is not a profession. It is a calling. It is a calling Amen. From God upon a person. That person cannot be and will not be called if they're not totally committed to Christ, period. Mm-hmm. So in discerning truth from error, it's very easy to separate congregations that believe from those that don't when you just look at what they think about their pastor. That said, and this is where I want to reinforce the topic today, and believe me, the Lord has been putting this on my spirit heavily for the last several weeks. It is important to be obedient to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7, then again, I think it's verse 17 at the bottom. God appoints over us pastors for our good, and we are to submit to the leadership of those pastors. So many churches, and this was leading to the frustration I think that I had with the body of Christ in general for about 20 years, is that so many people sit in church not knowing what they believe. They've never asked themselves the question, first of all, do I really believe? Or secondly, what is it that I believe, and is the Holy Spirit dwelling within me? And if you answer all those three questions in the affirmative, you must put yourself under a spiritual leader who God will assign to you, who will give you edification. Then you don't come into the church, as I perceive many were doing during about a 20-year period when I was very concerned over where the church was going. You don't come to the church with no idea of what you believe, sit under the pastor, not pay much attention to what he's saying, form your own ideas, and even attempt to sometimes push back against the leadership that that pastor is given. We must know that we believe. We must know what we believe. We must know we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We must put ourselves under the authority of a man who has been called by God, who's not doing a job or a profession. And it's important that it's under a Y chromosome, because so much error is in our world right now that if you can't find one of the few men who are preaching the true gospel because God called them, you've placed yourself under that descending curtain of darkness that's falling on this culture. The authority of the pastor is very, very important. If you disagree with a pastor, leave him up to God to take care of the problem. Because I assure you, God will deal with an errant pastor very quickly. Listen to your pastor. Put yourself under his authority in obedience to Hebrews 13, chapter 7, and chapter 17. And I support everything that you're saying this morning, Pastor. Authority is important in God's kingdom.
Let me say this before you go. One of the things as a caveat to your statement, and I think that we both understand this, and that caveat to your statement is put yourself under the authority of the pastor, subject to that pastor's having his authority from Christ based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God.
So that you don't begin a cult. That's true.
That's
what I said. Know what you believe. And if the Holy Spirit resides in you, he will put you under a pastor who will give you the edification that God says is necessary. Absolutely. Don't just willy-nilly put yourself. But you can tell those men who have a calling and those who are just there for a job or a profession.
Amen.
Absolutely right. 300%.
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much for your comments. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly right. One of the problems that we face today in Christendom, in society, in our churches today, is that we have so many of our churches that, just as the one I spoke of a moment ago, before dialogue and discussion with our caller, is the fact that the one with a female atheist that's pastoring a church in Canada and still being embraced and talking about still going to believe in God and preach the truth of the word. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem that we have is, where do we go next if we have a pastor that's an atheist and still pastoring a, quote, Christian church? Where do we go next? Many mainline denominations, they have already embraced homosexual pastors and leaders, already embraced the entire transsexual philosophy. Many of our denominations, they have embraced pedophile priests. Even the Pope's already said the Bible should be rewritten because it's not in accordance with the modern society. The Pope has declared that hell doesn't exist. Andy Stanley has declared that the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant to the New Testament church. Andy Stanley has said that when it comes to Bible and science in relationship to evolution, that we must believe science and not the Bible. Stanley has already said that fellowship is more important than doctrine. So where do we go in our churches today? Are we to allow sin to abound and still say that as long as we have the numbers, nickels, and noses, that it's all right? Ladies and gentlemen, that is not all right. The dear pastor, I don't know anything about his theology and his doctrine and the doctrinal beliefs of the church, but he did what was right in Chicago when he took a stand and cast out the cross-dresser, drag queen, as he was called, one that is perverted in his sexuality. If that's allowed, ladies and gentlemen, it will destroy the entire body of Christ in any local New Testament church. Now we are to believe that something is wrong because, as an atheist pastor, that there's something wrong because a pastor has said that this drag queen cannot publicly address himself as a female and dress as a female, when he told him to get out of here and put on some man clothes. I don't know anything any better could have been said. But, ladies and gentlemen, we must recognize that with these things being said is the indicators that we're in the last times. Because in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, the scripture is very, very clear that we live in perilous times. That word perilous means dark, deadly, dangerous, difficult, devastating. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in those days. This is not to be negative. It's to cause us to sit up, look up, listen up, and stand up and understand that as Christians, we need to be salt and light. And the reason for that is, ladies and gentlemen, because we have a society today that's robbing us of our children, that's stealing the hearts and the minds of our young people today, that's destroying the integrity of the truth of the Word of God. Here's an article that is from Matthew Staver, the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. It says, nationwide, we're seeing an alarming trend. Radical LGBTQ and gender identity indoctrination is infiltrating our public schools through the means that are largely unknown to the parents. Pasco County, Florida, public school personnel have adopted a harmful, unauthorized policy and practice of promoting LGBTQ ideology in violation of the rights of the students and the parents and the teachers without the school board's approval. Liberty Council is urging the school board to take immediate action to stop the harmful behavior at the Chasco Middle School and everywhere in the district, resulting from a so-called, quote, gender support plan and, quote, best practices guide authorized without the school board approval by Jackie Jackson Dean, a school psychologist. Here are just a few of the Jackson Dean's extreme LGBTQ initiatives. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is right here in Florida. This is down in Pasco County, and it's being done in our schools. And if it's done in the schools where there is a recruitment of our young hearts, young minds, young kids, what can we expect different in our churches than to see that carry over into the church and the embracing of the immoral, ungodly lifestyle? Here's some of the things that this initiative is doing in Pasco County schools. Urged other educators to use the LGBTQ history coloring book featuring men dressed as drag and other homosexual characters. It introduces LGBT issues through windows when doors seem to be closed. It wants schools to swiftly and directly punish any student or any teacher who refuses to use a false gender pronoun. Accountability and powerful reinforcement so students identifying as LGBTQ can stay LGBTQ without anybody trying to change them. This article further says educators should not face pushback from classroom LGBTQ activism. And finally, this article says, and by the way, this is Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Parents expect to send their children to school to learn academics and not face the LGBTQ indoctrination. The Pasco County schools must bring its employees into compliance with the new law, with the law, and cease putting children and teachers in harmful situations. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason you find the outbreak in the adult sodomites then walking into a church and thinking somehow, some way, they must be received with open arms. That's the goal, ladies and gentlemen, of this LGBTQ sodomite agenda, and the Planned Parenthood agenda is to force the church, to force the pastors, to force Christians to embrace them and say, you're okay and I'm okay, let's just have a come by y'all moment together. And ladies and gentlemen, that simply won't happen, ought not to happen in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet in our schools, we have, here's an article talking about schools where the principal says, y'all don't do that again, the principal tells praying students. And it's where a group of students in a particular school decided that they were going to have prayer for some of the students and some of the problems. And the pastor, the principal saw that and challenged them, says, y'all don't do that anymore. And then said that you can't pray on public school property. It's an elongated article. I'll just simply truncate it by simply saying that that is antithetical to our Constitution and the Bill of Rights that we have. Ladies and gentlemen, the students that are told you can't pray, we must turn back to God as a nation, as a people, and our churches. churches, ladies and gentlemen, our churches, our pastors, our Christians ought to recognize that the source book for our authority is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We must turn back to the Bible. Churches and pastors must stand and preach the Word and teach the Word without apology. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.